One, hold the paper up. One, two, three.
You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, ladies and gentlemen, live in studio, Janine Garofalo. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
The Jordanaires, ladies and gentlemen.
It seems like old times.
Is that text back here?
It is Von Monroe and his orchestra.
His orchestra?
His orchestra.
His orchestra, indeed. Also on today's program, we will be taking your phone calls at a special new number. 718-509-9310. We are using a special number today.
What was that number again?
Murray Hill 7.
718-509-9310. We will take all of your phone calls, of course, but we are specifically here today. Janine, welcome to the show, first off.
Thank you, Samuel, for having me and for showing me the footage of the adorable Saul.
Yes, I gave you a little bit of Saul, and I want to thank you for the wonderful necklace with a smushed penny, it seems like.
Well, it looks like a smushed penny, but I'm assuming it's not.
All right, well, it's a copper with a Buddha. And beads, I can't see.
Right, well, I always traditionally bring you.
That's right.
A necklace or a bracelet, so I can.
And you're still beating.
I'm
obviously.
Still clearly beating. Yes.
You're still clearly beating.
Yes.
Janine,
I'm a beatist.
Janine. I like that Buddha. Actually, I can see it now.
Yes,
I like it.
Michael likes to do the whole Buddha thing.
Well, had I known, I would have made you a necklace with some Buddha.
Well, more appreciated by me.
She's just saying that.
Well, he'll probably not wear it beyond today.
Discards it, I'll take it.
I do wear it. I do. I often wear all of the jewelry you have.
Really?
Given. Yes, I do.
Wow.
It's a good look for me, apparently, I've been told.
It is a good look.
Today, we're going to take some, we have a bunch of emails from listeners. We're going to take some calls. We're going to help people navigate their Thanksgiving holidays with their conservative relatives. People do have conservative relatives. In fact,
Yes, I know. I've heard about it. And as you know, I have many, and my father, Carmine, the conservative in particular. But I just bought a book that I haven't read yet. That it's called Finding Your Inner Noam Chomsky for Just Such Occasions.
Really?
Your rebuttals to your...
Wow, who wrote that book?
I honestly can't remember. I just saw it at St. Mark's Bookstore, picked it up, and have yet to look at it. And I'm so very sorry. I should have written down who the author is.
All right, well, we will look it up, and we will put it on the blog at majority.fm. We've got other stories to talk about today. I wanted to save all the response to the Pope's latest declarations, I guess, because I know that you are at least born Catholic. I don't know. Were you actually baptized?
I was born and raised and Catholic, baptized, communion, confirmation, went to a religious university.
That's right. You went,
to Providence College.
Providence College, a Jesuit school.
No, Dominican friars.
Oh.
Well, basically, it's for kids who didn't get into Holy Cross.
That's right.
That's what Providence College is good at.
All roads that don't lead to Worcester end up going to Providence.
Providence. And then I was actually quite observant, you know, religious, and I believed everything my father said pretty much consistently, with some moments of doubt along the way, but I thought it would be good for me to have a religious university education, too. That's where I was at the time. By the time I was a senior, I realized there was a lot of holes in the stories,
what?
And I feel I needed proof of life, as they say, in hostage situations. But I am open to deities. I'm open to having a god or gods, whatever they may be. I just need some proof or any evidence at all that any of these things exist. And then I will say, oh, okay, that's interesting. I'll rethink this. But until such time, I can't keep living it with suspension of disbelief.
Well, obviously, you've never had one of those cronuts, which a lot of people are saying are...
I hear lines around the block,
yeah,
for a
cronut.
Yeah,
a lot of people are saying that is proof
it's
of God.
It's a croissant mixed with a donut. I mean, it not only has been profiled on Unique Sweets and the Cooking Channel, but it's in in-flight magazines.
Yes.
The cronut. You can read all about it.
If you're not validated, I mean, if God has not blessed you, it's almost impossible to get into one of those in-flight magazines, is my understanding.
No, those are easy. The in-flight magazine's the easy part. It's the cronut that's difficult to access.
To get actually,
anyone can read and take home. I have not.
I have not either. I have to.
I can't stand in line for a very long time for a cronut.
Yeah.
I will get on faith that it is delicious. That I assume it is. I like donuts. I like croissants. As I said, I'm open to things. I need proof of this.
We share this in common. The idea of waiting in line for something that you can consume in a fraction of that time just doesn't make sense to me.
Waiting in line for when people outside of clubs or venues, the young people, you see them waiting to get into a jam-packed club. That is something also, even when I was a young person, I wasn't
even aware the clubs still existed.
Oh,
frankly.
Yes, there are.
I had no idea.
Grandpa, there are things called clubs. They still exist. People dance in them. They drink in them. They socialize.
I had no idea
they
were
don't
still
wear
around.
Coats outside when it's cold. They wait online, and then if they're lucky, they get in just before last call.
Had no idea that those were still going on. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell people first, the number is 718-509-9310 for today. That's 718-509-9310. So if you're one of those people who it's easier for you to remember it, when I say 718-509-9310. Is the number. It's a special number today.
Why?
Because our other number broke.
Ooh, what happened? How do you
I
break
don't know.
A number?
I don't know. Tell Matt or Sam to tweet out the number, says Kyle. Yeah, why don't we tweet that out, and you can check the Majority FM. All right, so let's, let's start.
Let's, okay.
With a listener email. We have a bunch of them.
Yes.
And... There's a lot of people are going to be facing a lot of challenges out there. Now, give me, what is the archetype for you? I mean, I've broken it down into sort of three different archetypes, but I'm curious, and yours is already obviously probably sort of filtered by your experience with your father, but what is the archetype conservative that you anticipate people are going to be dealing with at Thanksgiving?
Well, my father's older, you know, I'm older than maybe a lot of your listeners, therefore my father
is. Not at
older.
All. In fact, our median age of our listeners is somewhere in the 80s.
Oh, well, then I'm right at the sweet spot. Well, my father is a conservative of the type that when he was in college, he was a campus conservative, and he also was a huge fan of Buckley.
Yep.
And also the conscience of a conservative, that type of thing. He also is shaped by being old, a different generation, you know, the 40s, the 50s. He also, by the time he was 19, he was married with a kid.
Mm.
And he grew up in the Bronx, sort of poor. He was the first person in his whole family to get past the eighth grade. One would think he would have been more liberal, progressive, because of these things, but I think because his father was Democrat, more left-leaning, and he and his father were very combative. He went. I'm just speculating here.
Right. No. Of course.
He went
that's
that way.
What this is
so
all about.
His archetype is shaped by. It's not like every other archetype. I mean, there's many people who would share this. So I can only tell you about my related archetype. And also, when he was younger, he lived in an area, the Italian neighborhood that he lived in. Many of his relatives lived there too, and also shared the brownstone. It was a multifamily relatives. In the brownstone, his social life revolved around family members, cousins, things of that nature. Then, at one point when he was growing up, they started putting in public housing. And his family and relations and block was basically moved. I believe that more than anything has shaped his resistance to progressive ideas. It was so traumatic for him and the family, and they were all scattered about. And then these public houses went up that were eventually then destroyed because they were not kept up, or social services were not kept up, they weren't maintained, things of that nature. He has always brought that up in small ways. Now, he would deny that this has anything to do with anything. I feel that really shaped where he's coming from.
And you used to always say, in general, that the personal is always political.
Many people have said that the personal is political, but it really is, especially if you are on the right. These are all limbic brain emotional things. These are all you can pretend it's politics, you can pretend it's religion. In the same way, the Tea Party, it is so clearly racist. It is so clearly racist. Now I know that it's okay to say that now, because more people are saying it. When I first said it a few years ago, I was banned from MSNBC and fired from a voiceover job I had for Weight Watchers. But it's obvious that it is and still is, and that the Republican Party's
and we should say
bread and butter
point,
is racist and fear and misogyny. All these things, that's what they have. The natural resources of our lesser selves is what the Republican Party has to work with. So it makes their job very easy.
And we should say that, you know, at the time, there wasn't enough data, essentially, to come out with studies. But there have been plenty of studies now of the Tea Party.
One needs no data. One never needed data.
Well, one didn't need it, but it's always nice to have that. The reality is, the data shows that Tea Party members are far more likely to harbor issues with people who are not white. And it may be just a coincidence.
It is not a coincidence.
They are all white anyways.
No, it's not a coincidence. And it's very clear. They would have been upset at any Democrat, not to the degree with Obama. They would have been upset with Hillary for her gender, but not to the degree, because she's still white. Right. But to have a black Democrat, that is something they cannot abide. They cannot. And that's why all this and with Eric Holder, all this ridiculous obstructionism. Now, not all the Republicans have these. He's from Kenya. I need papers. But they're willing to do that, to say that for fundraising, for support. They're willing to be cowardly. They're willing to play dumb. And which makes it even worse.
They're willing to exploit the racism that they know is there in the base of their party. And that's when we talk about
it's not just the base, really. At this point, the Republican Party truly is the party of white flight, if you want to call it that, or the party of. And yes, there are African-Americans, Latinos and opportunists and women in the Republican Party. Now, whether that's Stockholm syndrome or they know there's money to be made by throwing their own gender and people, fellow humans under the bus, they're quite willing to do it. You can see it on Fox all the time. And these are also a lot of correspondents, I would guess, wouldn't be hired anywhere else. They're so terribly bad at their job. Now, that's not to say that on other networks people are very, very good. In fact, at the local news level, you've seen it's like a parody sometimes of. But these are particularly subpar correspondents that are on Fox. But there's money to be made.
There's money to be made.
And because of whatever personal problems they have, they're willing to be a racist African-American. They're willing to be a racist Latino. They're willing to be a self-hating woman and get paid for it and be on the TV. You know, It's a
there's no, there's
so there that's that that's what happens there. But historically human condition, no matter where, what country you live in or what era you were born. Let's say let's go back thousands of years to any region of the world. Part of the human condition dictates there will be those that have problems with others.
There will be
those that are exclusionary. And our very nation, like many, is founded on racism and commerce, people as commerce, and the haves and the have-nots being divided. That's built into any system. It would be odd that it doesn't exist now, the first African-American president. It would be odd that we are post-racial. And in fact, it's lunacy to think that the human condition has evolved to such a point that everybody's colorblind.
I thought that once President Obama was inaugurated, not only would there not be racism anymore, I thought we were all, by this point,
free candy.
His second term, I thought we would all be just orbs.
Well, I thought we were just going to get free candy every day, Reese's Pieces, mini Reese's Cups, and fun-sized snacks. But also the Republicans, as always, it's very obvious to tell where they're coming from by what the opposite of what they say, or whatever they accuse their adversary of. That's what they're doing. They project.
There's a lot of projection.
So they make it quite clear, like when Mitch McConnell, you know how I feel about Mitch McConnell.
Oh, yes, I do.
Just that face. But one set of rules for the Democrats, one for everybody. Everything that they do, they will tell you what they're doing by accusing the other of it, or the way they name things. Clear Skies Initiative, the SAFE Act, that's the opposite of what's going to happen. In the same way that when you see Benjamin Netanyahu appear on our news, the Palestinians better watch it. You know what I mean? Like, it's very clear what's going on. And that doesn't make me anti-Semitic. I don't like seeing Silvio Berlusconi either. Why does she hate Italians?
Why is
she anti-Italian?
So you're a self-hating Italian.
I'm a self-hating Italian.
So you're breaking news here, Janine.
No, but it's if you mention a Jewish leader and are critical of a mainstream Jewish leader, then all of a sudden you're accused of anti-Semitism. You can have at it with any other leader.
I think that's starting to wane a little bit because there has been such a broad sort of response to the intransigence of the right in Israel. And, you know, when you got people like Peter Beinart now who sort of represented, if not those people who were the first to cry anti-Semitism, certainly was sort of on one end of the not a Jonah Goldberg, of course.
Jonah Goldberg, isn't he wonderful? What a great guy. Now, Jonah Goldberg is, that's the archetype of the new metal conservative, which I'm going to consider my father to be.
I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. Can you refresh me on Jonah Goldberg?
Jonah Goldberg is a writer. Is it the New Republic or what magazine?
No. He writes for the National Review.
Is he the guy who wrote the fascism book?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And he's just and his mother was involved in the whole Monica
Lewinsky.
Well, his
mother was Lucianne Goldberg, who was
got Linda Tripp to wear a wire.
Got Linda Tripp to wear a wire with Monica Lewinsky. It's not like
they're not political people. They have they're unrestrained id. They have they're petty. They Jonah Goldberg, he celebrates people's unhappiness.
He was famously said that if you're not enjoying the failure of Obamacare, there's no reason for you to be in politics.
No, he said, then why did you get into politics? Right. But first of all, let's go to that too. First, Obamacare is
healthcare.
A Republican name, but it's now been everybody calls it Obamacare.
Sure.
But the Affordable Care Act, it is not a failure. And also when Mitt Romney introduced, as you remember, into Massachusetts, 136 people signed up when it first started. There was all kinds of quote-unquote glitches. And then it works. Now, a lot of the reason for the problems that exist in it are because of the compromises that he shouldn't have made, Barack Obama shouldn't have made, as concessions to the Republicans, because it wasn't muscular enough. It didn't go far enough. So there were these built-in problems. And then also the system, there's always technological flaws in any system as it's getting started. But the point is we should all be supportive of somebody or a group of people trying to bring health care to the people. That is something that should never be celebrated if it's not going as well as it should. And I can't stand these lazy assessments that it's a failure or that it's terrible.
I think in 3 months, it's going to be the assessments are going to be different. I mean, already the healthcare.gov is doing better, and
but all these problems, a lot of them are because of the compromises, and the insurance companies are being dishonest, as always.
The reality is that the compromises were sort of baked into the cake. I mean, this whole plan was an adoption of what was a right-wing Heritage Foundation developed plan of a public-private partnership, and it was unnecessarily complicated. We could have been much easier, but it
Barack
is what
Obama,
it is.
Who I like very much, has this habit of playing at bipartisanship, and yet he must know. He must know that that's a fool's errand.
You know,
I just don't understand
if that is a tactic as much as it is. I think he is that guy. I think he is a bit of a neoliberal, and I think that...
Yeah, but that's fine. But what I'm talking about is he knows he's going to get the criticism in droves no matter what. You would think his own personal pride would say, enough, I can't... Or when he was like, that's on me, when he said, I'm sorry. You know, he's got a lot of integrity. He's a much bigger guy than these Republicans. He's a much better person. Unfortunately, you used to say this to me sometimes about when I would go on Fox and make mistakes like that. You would say, because you're bringing a tennis racket to a football game or whatever. You said that once to me.
Bringing a tennis racket?
You said bringing a tennis racket to a football
like
game?
Meaning like you're bringing the wrong
tools. No, I understand.
Tools,
I got it.
Because I was being too acquiescent at first. I didn't understand
too decent human beings.
Yes, exactly.
While you're dealing with scumbags,
she could go and actually convince. Yes.
I watched
Not
Janine
that I could
when
convince.
I was in like 16.
All right,
and,
take
you know,
it easy with the dates.
Like,
okay, he's young.
I'm sorry.
We get it.
I watched Janine like when I was, you know. Before
a little
puberty.
Kid,
yeah,
a
no.
kid.
Yeah, I remember when you were like, "What a TV!"
Like, why is that TV? Bill O'Reilly man being so mean?
No,
well, I didn't expect it
but
either.
That was the point I was getting to. They were so rude. It
and
was
I didn't
unbelievable.
Expect adults to behave that way. Then I figured it out, but it was I had already been on these shows a few too many times, and also I get emotionally upset by these things. Sam doesn't. He's much better suited
he
to
enjoys
doing
them,
it.
I have a mental and emotional distance.
But
from
those
myself,
people
so.
And all their help meets in society and in the media are gunning for Barack Obama. You would think that he would say, even if he is more conservative than we like, that he would say, I can't.
That
have
happened
this.
During the shutdown. I think that was his moment during the shutdown.
It's possible.
I think
but,
that
you know,
there
and
was
he should,
a threshold.
He should from the very beginning have taken all the enthusiasm and support and goodwill from the very beginning and used
Definitely.
It. And from the very beginning, he was giving away things. And he should have been on the ground with the labor fights.
Yep.
He should never be currying favor with any of these.
He should have gone to that Chicago workers when they had that strike.
He should have been wherever Ed Schultz was.
I even before that, remember right before he was inaugurated, these workers in Chicago, I think it was a Maytag plant, they took it over for a couple of days because they had gotten fired without notice. They weren't going to get any back pay. And actually, Blagojevich went there like the day before he was indicted. But Obama should have gone there.
Yes, absolutely.
Like
and he should have been in Wisconsin. And he should have been at these reproductive justice. That's where he should be. But I think he gets terrible advice and he's willing to listen to it.
Yeah, I think you cut him a little bit more slack than I even do because I don't know that this is I sort of at one point left the notion that it was just bad tactics and it was more just, you know, I think at the end of the day he is not the guy that we thought.
I agree with you. I concede that he is. What I'm saying is there has to be a breaking point when people are saying you're from Kenya. When there are people saying that you are Osama bin Laden with plastic surgery, that crazy lady.
Well,
I mean,
the jury's still out on that.
When there's people threatening the lives of your wife and children based on race, that alone would be where you draw the line, even though I know he's more conservative.
Right.
And there are many of these things that you and I don't agree with that he supports, doesn't admit to it that much. But he clearly, tacitly, it does. You would think just to stop this nonsense that's going on, and the audacity of McConnell, Bonaire, all that, and also Harry Reid. Why is it called a nuclear option? The fairness of 51 people voting. We're going to go nuclear. What? why is it well, that this was alarmist adopted during, terminology?
Yeah, that was adopted during, I guess it was not Frist, but what's his face? Trent.
No, I think that was Frist. Actually.
Was it Frist?
I think
no,
so, because he was after Trent Lott. But in any event,
why use the wording? There's nothing alarmist about a fairer vote.
Right.
And Harry Reid and the Democrats have been bullied for so long that so many of them are still bringing tennis rackets, you know,
I think particularly a guy like Levin, who, you know, still believes in sort of the institution of the Senate. You know, I think at one point you have to wake up and smell the coffee, and the coffee smells.
It smells like you know what, shite, as the Irish would say.
The coffee
Brits.
Smells like a Senate that is dysfunctional because all rules are off. Now, I know you can't smell dysfunction, although sometimes you can.
But you can taste it, yep. And it leaves a terrible taste in your mouth. And the all false right. equivalency, both sides do it. Government gridlock, both let's, sides do it.
I think they misunderestimate these right-wing talking points a lot of times because I think, like, when we see this stuff and we're making fun of it on the show, we realize that this stuff will get out there, and if it hits the mainstream, it's going to become what people believe. But I don't think they, like Obama, he probably sees some of this stuff and he probably just like, you know, wipes it off his shoulder and is like, no one, this is ridiculous.
Or of course, but also he probably doesn't see it. He's very busy. He can't, we have the luxury of being steeped in and seeing
all
these things.
You don't think
he doesn't.
Combing, like,
but like some of the bigger ones though. Like, I think he thought, you know, the birth certificate thing was just going to end after
the
beginning.
I think the birth certificate thing, they saw that as a gift. I think it actually
makes them look better, but there's still got to be a point inside you where you are so furious at the implications.
And then that type of stuff doesn't necessarily affect you. Although, you know, Lyndon Johnson is a different story. All right, let's take a phone call.
Very sensitive guy, Lyndon Johnson.
Yes.
Sensitive.
You call him from a 914 area code. Who's this?
Jeremo.
Jeremo is our longtime listener and caller, Jeremo. Welcome, Jeremo.
Thank you, Sammy. I'm listening to the best live radio show on the air today, this morning.
What is
Terrific.
It? What is it? Which one is he listening to?
What are you listening to?
I'm listening to you guys.
Oh! Did we get a podcast award, Sammy? Getting a potty?
Well,
Smarty Pan.
What do you got for us, Jeremo? I want to get some of these emails.
All right, real quick. Sammy. The Republican motto is very simple, and now that the libertarians are picking it up, you know, I've got mine, screw you. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I see it. It's very, very simple. And then they're going to use all these other issues to get theirs and to keep it. It's just ridiculous. Great show, guys. It's really entertaining. Thank you.
It's the same thing as when people are against affirmative action, especially when they should be supportive. They pull up the ladder after them.
Right, of course.
I benefited from this, and you won't.
All
you
right,
know I'm in that, and they love because people love to tell themselves they did it themselves. Or we built it. We built it. Sent. We built it.
Indeed.
We built it. Three
All right. Let me
stool.
Let me get to this email here because we got a couple of these. I want to get to some in the in the first part of the show. I'm a 47-year-old liberal living in Austin, Texas. My sister is in her early 50s and is a rabid Fox News Sarah Palin conservative. At her last home in her small office, her computer sat in one corner. Directly behind her on a filing cabinet sat a small 13-inch TV tuned to Fox News 24/7. Since she spends so much time at her computer, she put up a little mirror so she could glance at it, not miss a second of Fox News 100% true story.
It feeds something inside her. Sister has a petty need to emotionally. It satisfies all her whatever's gone wrong in her older sister's life, whatever dissatisfaction she has, whatever anger she has towards other things. It can be hidden behind the politics at Fox News, and you can get all your rage out there and say terrible things and pretend it's based on something real.
All right, that was a prescient answer because. He goes on to say that she had ran a small business for a while. She had an altercation with a client, and she is now she lost her job. She's now too injured to work and had to give up her small business. She had no savings or retirement to speak of. She now lives for free for the time being with a relative. One day on the phone, she was complaining about the system being so screwed up. It was taking forever for her to get her claims of being disabled taken care of. And
from the government, like a check from the government, but she hates government, right? She wants government out of get out of the way of her and her injury.
That's what her brother said. I asked her this question. If legislation came up dealing with Social Security benefits for a vote, would you care if that legislation lowered or increased what you received? She paused. He could hear the motors whirring inside her. Oh, I wouldn't care one way or another, was her reply. Now, obviously, she's looking for Social Security disability. Now, a recent Facebook discussion over Obamacare also showed her true conservative colors. She asked why she should be responsible for other people. I asked how she liked attending those public schools for free or driving on the roads for free. She shot back, yeah, we get to use those things. We don't get to use other people's insurance. Now, this... mm-hmm. Now, of course... she's looking to get Social Security disability insurance. We don't all use that.
I want in on that disability insurance, ma'am.
That's right. I mean, this is just what Jeremo was saying, what you were anticipating. She is looking, she's listening back. Basically, she is watching that Fox News to make sure that the creeping doubt about her getting Social Security disability doesn't creep into her mind and make her accept that other people have mishaps or misfortunes. And whether they're, health related or other way,
it's more basic than that. Her life is not where she wishes it to be, and especially there's some people who become more right wing as they get older or they make a turn for the worse. It's because something has happened, whether it be a terrible divorce, you've lost your something has to go very wrong for you to become more right wing if you weren't like that. And there's no way that she could be pleased with her lot in life at the moment, has lost her job on disability, living at home for free. Happy, well-adjusted people don't watch Fox News 24/7.
Via mirror image, they
wouldn't be able to do that. You have to be dissatisfied.
I wonder if their Chiron makes more sense. That lower third, when you see it reversed. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to another one. This is Jack. My aunt is one of those Jews for Jesus. Hi, Sam. Hi, Janine.
Hello.
Types that W recently gave a speech to. How can I help her understand that the whole deal about Jews not believing Jesus was the Messiah? Can I convince her that if she really wants to be Jewish, she should renounce Christ? Well, I don't think you need to renounce Christ, but the bedrock of being Jewish as opposed to Christian is that you do not believe the Messiah has shown up. You're actually waiting for the Messiah to return. She should also know that, you know, for all of her Jewish brethren and sistren, we're all going to eternal hellfire when the Messiah does show up again.
Unless they do a reverse road to Damascus convert. You got to go to Saul, Paul. You got to Saul back to Paul or else you're going to burn in hell.
As my grandmother says, Jesus was a nice man, but he said nothing new.
he was a Cesar Chavez type. He was an organizer. He was a person who cared. He was a social justice type that Fox would make fun of and mock.
I'd be really frightened though.
But also actually, the Jews for Jesus thing is more like that. A lot of that evangelical people have no respect whatsoever for the Jewish faith or for the Israelis.
Yes, I mean you're kidding yourself.
And they definitely don't respect the Palestinians.
Well, you know, one of the things that came up, and I said this on Hayes when I was on, in addition to saying that, you know, because of my eczema, eternal hellfire is like the worst thing.
I didn't
for
know
me.
You had eczema.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Stress.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Of course. And, but that I find like when like Abe Foxman or some of these sort of right-wing Jews get on their hobby horse about Jews for Jesus. It is so hypocritical because they're willing to get in bed with all of these Christian Zionists because it ostensibly is going to be supportive of Israel. But look, you know, this is the problem. When you sleep with the when you go to bed with these Christian
Zionists,
let's
hear them fracture.
You're sleeping
with
everybody they slept with too, which
oh,
includes
got it,
Jews
right.
for Jesus.
Okay. What's I was that? Waiting for you to. I'm still in awe of Jack the Ruby. When you were reading a letter of last week, somebody wrote in about the Kennedy assassination, and you called him Jack the Ruby. So you were thinking of perhaps Jack the Ripper, but do you, I know you don't remember.
You know what?
This.
That's perfect timing.
Sam speaks a lot.
That is perfect timing for me to play this clip from the first majority report.
Oh no!
Let's listen to this, folks. Oh, that is, I'm How, glad
is it
you
a
brought
long
that
one?
Up.
It's not
no,
long.
It's just like a minute and a half.
That's long.
It's towards the end of the show.
Oh no!
You know, revenge and some plot to kill our fathers.
No, but what we will do is work on saying We both do it too much. We both tend to ramble a little bit, and I want to say to the audience who has noticed it and perhaps is as annoyed with it as I am with myself, we are going to work on it. I'm going to work on tightening it up. It's just first
my abs. I mean.
All right, now let me just say,
strengthening my
now,
core.
What you should know, folks, is that Janine is saying she's saying.
I'm saying
she's,
we.
She's referring to herself here, but she's really saying you, Sam.
But I said a lot. I said a lot.
But you know that's my thing.
You're an ummer and a you can remember I had you stuttering Prickya from Goodfellas
yes,
on the soundboard.
I do remember that. Hold
and
on, let's continue.
Jack the Ruby.
Sometimes I'm not saying we do it all the time.
We'll do it on the second night. We'll do it on the third night. By the fourth night, perhaps it'll be a little bit.
And
less.
What casual? That would be casual. What?
Casual Monday. Yeah?
Where everyone will be wearing... No, actually, Monday is 50s day.
Monday's 50s day, which means...
Poodle skirts and segregation.
That's right. No more waiting at the bubbler. We get right in line as we are white.
Separate but equal bubblers.
All right, well, we want to thank our guest for tonight, Bill Maher.
Look at all the ahs that I'm doing in that. Right? I mean, and that's what it was. That's what really was going on there.
Well, I don't like to tout my own horn. That's another thing you did a couple weeks ago. But tout, tout. He touted. Sam said, I don't want to tout my own horn.
I don't like to tout my own horn.
But do you like to toot it?
I occasionally like to toot it, but to tout it is actually, it
Jack
hurts.
Jack the Ruby.
All right, let's play this.
I missed that one. That's pretty amazing.
I didn't hear any laughter from you guys.
Hey,
from
Sam
that.
And Janine. I missed that. Jesus was a lefty here. I was wondering if you could help me out with a response to my Tea Party uncle. On Halloween, I was over there for dinner, and when discussing why we should have single payer, he shot back that we shouldn't base anything we do in America on other countries because we are America.
Here comes the sound, eventually.
Charge.
Well, America,
is there anything
but,
I can
well, we
say
are
back?
Based on other countries.
Can I say? Britain. Is there anything I can say back to this comment, or is it just one of those times that I should smile and nod? Then, when he passes out in front of NASCAR later that night, let my aunt know that she's married a functionally handicapped chimp.
Well, you could say a couple of things. You could say, oh. "I'm sorry you don't like black people." That's A. I'm sorry that you're frightened of that. B. We are based on Britain and France. We are modeled, you know, our vision of democracy and currency and society, which goes back to actually Rome, which is written
true.
In some we senses based on the Roman Empire.
Country to have a Senate. Or this is what I would say. I would say, well, how about we base it on what the military of the United States of America does, which actually has full on government run health care, not even government run health care, health insurance. But full on government health care. I'd be curious.
But
as to
returning
what he says
veterans
about that.
don't get taken care of at all for the most part.
That's the American part.
That's the America that's this gentleman is talking about. That
that's
he knows
what he's
and
advocating.
Loves. And I feel like it's smiling and nodding and agreeing to disagree is something I cannot abide anymore. So I tend to just avoid familial situations in that way because I feel like it's too important to keep letting it slide.
Well, is it just your dad, Janine, or are there other
well,
members of your family?
No, my nephew Pat Garofalo, great liberal. I believe my second oldest nephew will come around. He lives in Portland now, so I think it's just a matter of time.
Right, of course.
My siblings will identify as Republican. Do they adhere to all of these things? They don't really pay attention to, but I would say my brother is probably the most Republican because he is mad about some stuff personally. So he gets to extend that anger outward. My sisters, I would say, will identify as Republican, but I don't think they even vote. So it's neither here nor there.
All right, let's go from another one. This is from Joe from Connecticut. Luckily for me, I come from a very progressive family, but they are old school. Most people in my family believe we shouldn't talk politics at the table. But then there is my uncle. He's the kind of conservative that thinks the Koch brothers are just job creators And we attacked Iraq because Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11.
Still he thinks so?
Yeah, apparently, uncle. My other uncle has a painting of Che Guevara in his living room and worships the Young Turks. Wait, what?
Cenk! Cenk Uygur!
Joe, well, first off,
that's like punching Sam on the stomach. You just punched Sam. Are you going to talk about Mark Maron now? Does he say anything about Mark Maron in the letter?
Why isn't
I cut that part
of
the email.
Where's your uncle,
how to deal with your progressive
of
uncle
course!
Who's unaware of the
That's my Cenk Uygur impression. Of course!
That's the only two things. Young Turks and Majority Report are constantly playing in Janine's house. That's true. He's great, but when my crazy uncle is spouting off at the mouth about Mexicans taking our jobs or President Obama's obvious connection to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Again, he's just got to say, I'm sorry you're racist. It's bad for everybody that you're racist.
Everyone sits there quietly rolling their eyes, except for me. I'll state some facts and numbers, drop some knowledge on him, but it seems like there's no way to penetrate the right-wing wall. Facts don't affect him, and the rest of my family pushes to change the subject like good liberals should. I'm sick of this help.
That's the thing. Facts, you can tell a right winger anything but the truth. They will believe anything but the truth. That makes them confused and angry. That's what they will resist, a fact or truth. There's no point in going through facts and figures. So the only thing I could say is, again, you just go cut to the heart of it and say, I'm sorry you are frightened of brown people and modern society. I'm sorry that modern society is alarming to you.
Let me amend that advice.
So confusing.
You should say that basically after dessert has been cleared. That's it, because you don't want to actually put the entire meal. But the point is, I think that you cannot convince a guy like that. But he has value insofar as there may be other people at the table who you can actually convince based upon what this guy is saying. You know, so in other words, you're never going to convince the guy who says that Obama has connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. However,
and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Or and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
I really have a connection to them either.
But neither. Yeah. But
I know.
You can discredit this guy's worldview for the other people sitting at the table in the event that there are some who are gettable. By letting him talk. That's basically.
Right, but there's almost a thing like it's tacitly. It's like you agree, you know, when people are silent, why is it always the bullies that get to say?
I'm not saying
and everybody
be
else
silent.
Has to be reasonable. Because then those that don't know might think, oh, nobody's saying anything. Perhaps Crazy Uncle is saying things.
Robert Kennedy said, right? All it takes. For evil to prevail is just for good men to do nothing.
Right. I think Robert Kennedy said it, but I think others said it before. Martin Luther King may have been one of them. And then there might have been somebody. Speaking of Kristallnacht.
And then they've also said.
Speaking of Kristallnacht. What?
Don't forget, it's the anniversary, 75th anniversary of the Night of Shattering Glass.
718-509-9310 is the number. 718-509-9310. The IM is now up. We will get to it in a moment. Let me read this email from...
Sam, do you have conservative relatives?
I do. Well, I have conservative in-laws. And I actually have a conservative
in-laws,
aunt.
In-laws, he says.
But the aunt is really just sort of like... She is just sort of knee-jerk conservative. And... there's really no arguing with her because she will say something like inflammatory, like, ugh, Obama's so bad for the Jews. And I will just say, what
At
are
least
you
that's
talking
what I've heard.
About? And
that's,
she just
that's
says, well, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. Because there's nothing to back. There's no evidence to support
right.
it.
No, she can't go. But now, my in-laws.
I have my paranoid delusions. And
yes, please. Let me just have my paranoid delusions. And... There's really no convincing of her, and she's not engaged enough in politics other than to sort
but
of
what
like
if you some, were to say pin her down and just say elaborate I'm genuinely earnestly would like to know
this,
like if
I can
you
tell
just
you what
were
you
to say to her
I
please
can tell you
elaborate.
What you would say he's bad for the Jews
elaborate.
What else is
yes
there?
I hear you now Let's go from there.
Elaborate.
And you tell me.
When he sells weapons.
Elucidate, edify,
things
enlighten.
Things are bad for them. One of them is Obama. Is that an elaboration?
Actually, it's not. I'm genuinely asking. I would like to learn from you. I want to hear what you have to
do
say on TV.
Do you want chicken or do you want a hamburger?
Both. And I also want some elucidate. I want more information about why he's
Tell
bad.
Your father to bring over some soup for tonight.
I will when you tell me. Why?
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to let this go, auntie. I'm like a dog with a bone. Auntie. You call her aunt, your aunt. What's her auntie what?
Aunt Carol.
Aunt Carol. Aunt Carol.
Aunt
I was expecting
Carol.
You to say like
conservative
Hadassah now. Or auntie
But
auntie
you
Esther.
Recall, wait a second, but in terms of the my father-in-law, mm-hmm. Do you, I
met him.
I don't know if you remember when we had a guy named Abramson, I think his name was, who wrote Overdosed.
Yes.
It was about the medical profession. I mean, this was years ago. Mm-hmm. And my father-in-law, who is a doctor, that really, for about a three-week period, opened his eyes. He bought the book. He read the book. He was like, wow, there's this. And then there was a lot of slippage since then.
Well, do you remember my father was exposed to some great minds? You know, he when he would be on the show, he would be actually talking
General Zinni to talk to him
and David K. Johnson and Gore Vidal. And other people. And my father, to his credit, was genuinely awed by these people.
Yeah.
John Kerry's brother. And remember, he wound up with that Vietnam guy. They were going to go to get barbecue together because that guy lives in Texas, too. Remember, they exchanged
yes.
phone numbers. This gentleman who had been in charge of the naval in the Pacific during Vietnam.
I can't remember.
Who was trying to explain to my father why Iraq was so wrong. And then as it turned out, they just got along real well and they went and got barbecue together in Texas and drank. Because they have that in common. But my father, while being properly respectful and awed of all of these people, it was Teflon. You know what I mean? He appreciated hearing from these people, especially Norman Mailer. I mean, Gore Vidal.
Gore Vidal was speaking Italian to him, too.
Yes, yes. And he in the moment, I think, you know who got to him the most? Lamour Sivan.
Really?
My Israeli,
yes.
who co-hosted with me, she was one of the first embedded female journalists and in the first intifada, I believe. And she had, like most Israeli, conscripted into service, but she was also a reporter and a journalist and had been held hostage, certain things. And she was a very progressive advocate for social justice for Israelis and Palestinians. For whatever reason, and I think it's because my dad might have been a few martinis in, and so he softened up a bit. But also, he was very impressed with Lamour. And she spoke to him in a way where he just absolutely respected her. Arianna Huffington, on the other hand, approached it totally wrong when she spoke to him. Right out of the bat, I could have said, what you just said to my dad is absolutely wrong.
That did not work
out. But it didn't work out. But Lamour was the most I've seen him... take it in.
Soften
up. Now, it didn't last.
Right, of course.
But he was quite, and he also was quite taken with you. He very much respects you and very, and I believe that
maybe
secretly he wishes
if
I had a son like Sam, you know what I mean? Like, because I think he thinks he wouldn't have fought so much with you, oddly, as he did with my brother. But and he loves my brother, don't get
true.
Me wrong. And my dad loves us all very much, loves all his kids. But I think there's something about Sam's intellectual verve or how bright you are and how quick you are and how good-natured you are. I could tell that my father is very, very fond of you. And
I have a quality that I look much more attractive from a distance.
No, but also I think you're clean cut. You know what I mean? Like he actually look sort of similar to the way he looked at Columbia when he was at Columbia.
Really?
He wore his hair like you're mm-hmm. doing it now.
Right. There you go.
He had Clark Kent glasses. You don't, but he had the glasses.
I'm willing to get
he
those.
He tended to wear button downs with sweaters over them. And I think he feels like now if the, This is the boy. If this is my son, you know.
Well,
I could put
that to rest right now. I would have been.
You would have fought like cats and dogs, but I don't think he sees it that way.
Because
he finds you to be so good humored and good natured.
Maybe we should have him. Maybe I should have him on this show as a regular feature.
You could.
It would be awkward.
He is getting a bit older now. Like,
well,
it's
good,
finally
so
caught up with
really...
him. And he's almost 80, but he hung in there a long time as just as fiery and just as verbally quick. I've noticed recently, it's one of those things where you notice this about your parents, like, oh.
Yes.
And then you realize, oh, I'm old as well. So therefore, he must be really old.
Start doing the math on how old we will be when Saul is actually like a junior in
high
school.
That's absurd.
It's terrifying.
That's absurd, because I'm older than you. So that's an absurd
terrifying
proposition.
Believe me. All right, let's take another one. My wife, Susan, recognizing that Black Friday is the day consumers go into debt to support soulless corporations.
Thanks, Obama.
Calls it Red Friday. It's easy and catchy and puts the focus on us citizens with real lives instead of consumer pawns. It spins people's heads around Thanksgiving dinner when the topic comes up in a good way. People on the right tend to agree with it, and then, of course, things go bad. Do with that idea as you will, because this is the day that consumers go into debt. Interesting.
And don't forget, don't give to the homeless, as Fox would tell you. You're just an enabler. Don't give to the... I prefer to say between homes, Sam.
Yes.
Between jobs and between homes. I think it's the polite way, but don't give them any.
Let's go. We got a call.
Distracting them from getting...
You're just distracting
the
them from achieving
IPO
in life.
You give them change, you know?
Somebody's calling us on Skype. Who's this?
That's me.
Hello.
I hear me.
You've got your computer on in the background.
It's Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Truly, it is Julie.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Wait, this is my sister. Oh, God.
So truly, it is Julie. That's why
sister.
She had the...
dead giveaway was the fact that she didn't know how to work Skype.
Thank
what?
You, Julie.
Hi,
happy
Julie.
Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thanks. And actually, you addressed already my question on how to deal with our aunt. So,
auntie,
all right. Well, thanks for calling. Julie, you're not going to be at Thanksgiving. So why are you asking this question?
Because it'll come up again in the future. Yeah. She will dine with your aunt at some point.
Yeah,
that's true.
Come up next Thanksgiving. And next time I see her in Florida.
And Sukkot. And Shavuos, Shabbat.
You guys argue under the sukkah in the Cedar family?
Oh, yeah. Well, Julie, I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. I'm sorry we're going to miss you.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. Julie.
Oh, that was great.
Bye.
You can see the warmth in the Cedar family.
You were very very dismissive of her. She calls in and you...
She called in to say that I had a comment, but it's already been answered. I mean, Julie, come on.
Right, but you could have said so, but let's chat.
You know what Julie did the other day?
Who's older, Sam?
What did Julie do?
Can I tell you what Julie did
Please.
The other day? When we were doing... We did a show, and it was not perfect, but it was a we did a show where we were a fake conservative podcast, basically the Ken and Ken show.
Mm-hmm.
And we get through the opening, which was pre-recorded, where it was a little bit sort of hokey, but it was
Halloween. That's the
it was Halloween
context.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pre-record was Matt was opening a soda as he's wont to do during the show. And I said, don't do that, Matt, in the pre-record.
Right.
You'll spill it on the board, and then we will short-circuit our internet connection. People may get a conservative podcast instead, and it'll be confused. People will think it's some type of parody. You know, I was trying to sort of lay it out.
You were overstating it, so you were exposing what you were doing.
Yes, I was doing that.
You didn't deftly handle
gateway. No. We wanted to make it very explicit.
Right.
I get an IM. The first IM I get just pops up. Not funny.
Because I agree. I agree. IM. Because you were not subtle.
It was my
subtle.
Sister. It was my sister.
Right, and she's correct.
Well,
you were not subtle in your comedy approach. You made it very clear to the listeners what was about to
happen. She just IM me said your tone was very dad.
I agree. Julie.
Sam and friends, I'd love to hear big tips for dealing with strong conservatives, the kind that repeat the slogan, Fox News is fair and balanced. All right. Well, you know what? We've got a clip, actually.
How about just saying you're wrong?
Yeah. Well,
just
you're wrong. You can say you're wrong.
Are you out
Here's
of
a
your...
clip. Here's a clip of Sean Hannity bringing on an analyst to talk about the Iran deal. It is a long clip, but the payoff is at the end. So you tell me if this Fox is fair and balanced. Let's play this now.
Your list commander-in-chief addressed the country and announced that he's willing to enter into a nuclear agreement with the rogue regime in Tehran. That's right. President Obama is now openly negotiating with terrorists. Take a look.
I spoke personally with President Rouhani of Iran earlier this fall. Secretary Kerry has met multiple times with Iran's foreign minister, and we have pursued intensive diplomacy bilaterally with the Iranians and together with our P5+1 partners, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, Russia, and China, as well as the European Union. Today, that diplomacy opened up a new path toward a world that is more secure, a future in which we can verify that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful and that it cannot build a nuclear weapon. While today's announcement is just a first step, it achieves a great deal.
All right, is it me or do the president's comments sound eerily similar to what Neville Chamberlain said back in 1938? Watch this.
The settlement of the Czechoslovakian problem, which has now been achieved, is, in my view, only the prelude to a larger settlement in which all Europe may find peace. This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Now, sadly, the world knows all too well that never happened. So were President Obama's naive remarks the modern-day equivalent to Chamberlain's Peace in Our Time? Here with reaction, the author of the best-selling book, Never Trust a Liberal Over Three, Ann Coulter.
There you go, folks.
Yep. Never.
There you go.
And if
who
anybody
better
says
to analyze the Iranian nuclear deal?
But if anybody says it's fair and balanced, again, you can say, I'm sorry you're not intellectually able to understand when you're being conned, or if you are, I'm sorry you're so willfully ignorant.
Oh,
you
wait,
could say that.
Wait, Janine, I'm sorry you're racist.
Well, but also you could say two things. First, you say, I'm sorry you're willfully ignorant and intellectually unable to decipher when something is propaganda and they are infantilizing you. You seem to like it. And also, I suspect that I need to be sorry that you're a racist. You can throw that in at the end.
I suspect
that I need to be sorry that you're a racist,
that you're
as
racist.
Well. And a bit of a misogynist.
We got another one from an email from Sylvie. This is more of a general holiday question. I'm Canadian, so our Thanksgiving is over, but I need some life-saving for Christmas. My dad describes himself as a liberal, but he spouts right-wing talking points about the U.S. He totally bought into the Romney 47% message. And when I gently pointed out that the people who don't pay federal income tax are low-income individuals or people who don't pay for other legitimate reasons, like old age, he didn't believe me, even though I sent him multiple things afterwards showing him how that speech was debunked. When I pointed out that people still pay other types of tax, he said those taxes don't really count. He doesn't even have a horse in this race because we've never lived in the U.S., so I have no idea why he cares so much, but he brought this kind of subject up at the past few functions. I love Dad, but is he one of those people who needs to be the smartest person in the room? How should I shut him down?
Well, he's definitely not exhibiting it with that. But
without making him too defensive.
Well, here's the thing. Does his father support Stephen Harper, Prime Minister Stephen Harper, even though he claims to be his father claims to be a liberal? Is he a? It would be interesting to hear where he stands on Stephen Harper, who is a right-winger. But he's polite about it because he's Canadian. But Stephen Harper is a right winger, and a lot of the right wing nonsense has infiltrated their media. You know, Rupert Murdoch's people, and over the years have tried to build in. You know, I when I was up in Canada, I had to listen to Krauthammer on their news. You know, or
oh, is Krauthammer on there?
Well, there's Bill Kristol will write an editorial in the Globe and Mail. You know, somehow they've inserted, and with the blessings of Stephen Harper. And a lot of Canadians don't recognize it when it's happening.
Actually, you know, this gets back to that Fox News thing. I believe they had to change the laws to allow Fox News or Fox News sort of copy in Canada because their laws were such that you could not lie on TV, and they had to literally change the laws to get an exemption.
Well, Stephen Harper has been very helpful in ushering in both his terms, not only money from these right-wing groups here in the States, but they're called something else because you legally can't take money from them. So there's just they renamed these groups that supported him the first time around and possibly his second term. But I think he has been quite helpful in allowing this influx of right-wingness into their formerly better media.
Well, I would tell Sylvie that, look, it sounds like your father is unreachable. Again, the best thing you can hope for is to use your father as a mechanism to convince other people. Some people are just not going to be convinced. He obviously wants to believe this, even despite the fact that there's you're sending him the facts about it. He could say, like, well, those taxes don't count, but why? It's the same. It's money. It's a percentage of people's income. What difference does it make? But he obviously doesn't want to listen. Now, I should also say, this is sort of a sidelight, and I'm not going to have the opportunity to dig into this too much because I got an email from Lawyer Matthew, who apparently is trying to stir things up. Lawyer Matthew, of course, is friends with Independent Mike, who I also consider myself to be friends with, but we have arguments. Independent Mike, we found out, gets his news from Tea Party News Network.
How did you not know that right off the bat? How did that?
Well, Independent Mike says he's independent.
Right, so independents, libertarians, and Republicans are the same thing.
Yes,
Tea Party,
I know.
They're the same thing.
He listens to both sides.
Meaning Fox and CNN?
And I was, the other day, apparently, I did something about how he doesn't believe that facts are fixed. He believes that facts, everybody can have their own facts.
He's like Rumsfeld.
And that's why he doesn't have to listen
knowns.
To any facts.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Matt cut that up as a YouTube, which I didn't realize, because Lawyer Matthew sent that out to at least seven people on an email list, including Independent Mike. And Independent Mike has responded with an extensive email.
Look how long that is.
And I haven't read it yet.
Maybe you should do it right now, live on
air.
No,
it's
it will take for that's a long.
But he's taken to calling me Uber Liberal Sam or ULS.
To which you should say thank you.
As
a
ULS for short. He clarifies. I love that.
Wait, where did you see this email?
I'm looking at it right now.
He sent it to me. Okay, I got it.
Oh.
He sent it. I realized.
Uber Liberal Sam, Lawyer
I'm
Mike.
In your private email account. So
oh, he said, yeah, okay.
Michael's just been faking his tech stupidity for
no, right, I'm exactly. actually like running an NSA so, operation right here.
Independent Ken is just, it's now Tea Party Mike. Ken. No, Independent Mike and Lawyer.
Lawyer Matthew is.
Lawyer Matthew and Independent.
Lawyer Matthew is liberal.
Okay, and Mike, Tea Party Mike. Is the other one?
Well, to be fair, it's Independent Mike.
Tea Party Mike, right? Tea Party Mike?
It's to be fair.
Is he gonna, does he have a dibs on that structure, that rant, the libertarian dream structure in the sea? Is he going to be living on that structure when the Ayn Randians build their dreamscape?
No, Independent Mike is not even a libertarian. He really is just sort of like, I think, more
but he gets,
like
if he
tea
gets
party.
His news from Tea Party News,
right.
He is the exact opposite of an independent. So why won't he proudly say, I am a Tea Party?
He would argue, this is how the argument would go, the Tea Party is not the same as the Republican Party. They're independent.
Except that it is.
And then I would say, but if you look at the data by professors at Harvard and Notre Dame and other prestigious institutions.
And the funding that comes from the same Republican.
The funding, but you would see that, in fact, these are the vast majority of them. Not even vast majority, upwards around 90 some odd percent, always vote Republican, and they are, in effect, Republicans.
Yes.
And he would say, well, you've got your facts, I've got another set of facts. And I would say, well, show me the data. And he would say, look, it doesn't matter.
He's claiming he has never quoted Ann Coulter. That's a misstatement of the facts.
Oh,
that's not a litmus test. That's not a litmus test. But
that's not true, though.
I can't wait. I love this. Is there a way we can somehow record this
confrontation? I'm not seeing him tomorrow, but
tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, he's going to be at Lawyer Matthews for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
I will be going to.
But why is he unwilling to admit to Tea Party leanings or Tea Party? Enthusiasm.
Well, that's
because he wants to be independent.
To because he's an independent.
He looks at New York City. He just gets his news from there.
I'm reading the email. It's
An independent would not get their news from the Tea Party. But also, as we know, people who claim to be libertarians, independents, undecideds, Republicans, because they are all Republicans.
Right. They're just rebranding themselves. That's fine.
Because it makes them feel special.
That's fine.
It gives them identity.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's not really, but okay.
Another Matthew writes in, Sam and Janine, I have a 30-year-old tech genius of a nephew who also happens to be a gold bug. Can you help? Lately, all conversations start off simply enough and then devolve into economic monetary collapse.
This Thanksgiving, it's going to be Bitcoin he'll be talking about, I'm sure.
Right.
It's a virginity issue.
I don't think you can argue with gold bugs. I think, like, look, if he wants to believe in a monetary collapse, just tell him that either way, if he's going to buy a lot of gold, he should still diversify. He's young enough. I mean, the beauty is he's only 30. And if he's in tech, he's probably going to have at least, you know, some opportunities going forward, although he might not. Fortunately for him, Social Security will be there if he puts all his money into gold and something.
You know what I would say? Susie Orman. There it is. I've said it, Sam. Susie Orman. Now that Oprah's gone, who shall lead us? Susie Orman. Fiduciary responsibility. Fiscal prudence. I like the cut of her jib. She knows what's what. I await further instruction. Susie Orman. A 401k, okay. A Roth IRA. Now, I don't know if you have to be Jewish to use a Roth IRA, but I feel like it sounds... Okay, you can. Gentiles can use, and atheists can do a Roth IRA. Sam?
Oh, yeah, no.
Gentiles can use a Roth IRA, but they can't criticize Netanyahu.
That's
okay. So we're just updating.
Okay, and 8-month emergency fund.
Right.
Diversified portfolio. Do not lease a car. I would say Susie Orman is...
Don't get whole life insurance?
Never. No,
term
that makes
life
her
insurance.
So angry.
Term
it
life
makes
insurance.
Wait, Sam.
Crazy.
You were saying this the other day, though, that the libertarian relative you could treat a little bit differently, potentially, right?
What's that? The young...
Like when you're... Okay. Go into that.
Okay. Well, now, if this guy... First off, there are three basic archetypes that I have that I, you know, when I talk about this. One is the Tea Party guy, who you're not going to be able to convince of anything, but there is value in engaging him on things like, is Obama really an American? Because then you're showing the other people at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Then there's...
It's also just entertaining.
Right. Then there's the sort of the plutocrat type. Now they may say that they're an independent or they're Mitt Romney or this and that, but really at the end of the day they just don't want to pay taxes.
Exactly.
And so everything else they're talking about is something that they've gleaned onto as a way of saying anything but I don't want to pay taxes because I made this. I'm completely self-made. I didn't use your roads. I didn't use your infrastructure. I didn't use the taxes that were paid before me.
I didn't go to public university. It was $50 a semester.
And even if they did, it doesn't matter. They have their money. They want to keep most. They want to keep as much of it as
they can. I get no benefit from society that has allowed me to achieve what I have achieved. But they're not going to be so naked about that. So they may revert to some of the Tea Party talk. Then the third archetype is going to be the libertarian. This is going to be either a 30-year-old tech guy or maybe a junior in college. These guys are going to be high at the table, which is fine. That's all fine. To get inside the circle, as they say, you may want to go get high with that person.
You guys could go see the Hunger Games.
Go see the Hunger Games together.
Part two together.
But there are three things. There's three things that these libertarians are sure to bring up, or one of these three. Okay. One is, of course, and we've heard this on this program often, one, the guy might say, individuals working in their own best interest is that bring the best results for society. The other day, we had a perfect example of what you respond to this person. You say, well, that's not the case with antibiotics. If we all take antibiotics for every disease, it makes sense for us, for every possible infection, it makes sense for us as individuals. But then we destroy the efficacy of antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Or... And we've heard this on this program too. The guy coming back from and incidentally, I say the guy because it's statistically always going to be a guy, and statistically
usually
they're all
the
be
libertarians
white.
Tend to be white males. But I'd say the Tea Partiers because there tends to be a lot of ridiculous females.
There's
ridiculous
females
in the Republican
married
Party
to a white Tea Party guy, and then the second thing the libertarian could say is, well, I saw a video where Milton Friedman explained to a young Michael Moore that Pintos should be sold even if they explode, because then we should just give them a discount. There should just be transparency in the marketplace. And for that person, you say, you know, but what about the guy who's driving behind the Pinto? Mm-hmm. If we had your own exclusive roads and a car company found it profitable to sell Pintos to only people who want to buy a cheap car for their own exclusive roads, then fine. But that's not the case in reality. And then the third thing they may say, if they are Tim Carney, and they will say that corporate power is using government for their own benefit of big business. And they'll say, of course, the solution for this is, of course, to get rid of government.
And he also supports the discrimination of corporations, their conscience under the First Amendment, of denying coverage.
Yes. Well, that is
for contraceptives. The boy-faced man.
Well, but I think that's less about Tim's libertarian streak and more.
He's not a libertarian.
About his but there is no libertarians.
Right. Well, he's just, and also a lot of the actually sort of intellectual libertarians. Some of them seem like they do read and they seem to be open to intellectual discussions.
Definitely.
But they ultimately have an antisocial streak in them, a selfishness in them. And they probably have had life fairly easy. Therefore, it's easy to say what they say without having had to struggle or suffer in any way. But there is still the underpinnings at the core of it in your limbic brain of an antisocial.
Oh, yes. Fundamentally, it is an antisocial.
Unkind, uncharitable vision. And a somewhat of a distaste for most people.
Let's read this email from Lauren. Hi, Sam and Janine. I wish I could be listening live on Wednesday, but sadly, I'm going to spend a good chunk of the day running a cash register in a grocery store. Oh, how I look forward to the last-minute shoppers and their tales of woe in aisle 7, where the bare shelves mock their need for stuffing and canned green beans. This time of year certainly brings out the best in people, doesn't it? Fortunately for me, Thanksgiving Hanukkah will be spent with my liberal family in Rockland County. The only trouble with tea bags, we'll be picking which one I'll wash down all the delicious pie with. So in lieu of asking for advice on coping with right-wing uncle, I'll run through a quick list of relevant things I'm thankful for. Sam's interview with Diane Ravitch for reassuring me that I'm not crazy for looking at the education system from the perspective of a soon-to-be teacher and thinking there's something very wrong with how it's changing. The Majority Report for being a source of light in an increasingly muddled realm of news. Janine, for your voice, thoughtful words, and willingness to face down bullshit when you know you're right. I love you. My awesome Majority Report membership. I'll be listening to this broadcast as I bake apple pies tonight, and I can always go back into the archives to listen to that nutty Harris broad when I need a good laugh. Thanks for keeping your independence and integrity, and thanks for the show. It's wonderful. Much love to you all, Lauren. That's
was
very
that
kind.
Lauren Samuel? Thank you, Lawrence. Lauren. So.
I think her name was Lauren.
Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren, like Lauren Twos from The Love Boat.
Julie. Julie.
Cocaine brought her down, Sam.
Oh, nice. Well, that happens.
A bit of a coke problem. But I hear that's happening in Florida. It was the 80s.
The 80s. Indeed, it was the 80s.
That's a really good Catherine Harris impression. I mean, it's almost as good as when actual Catherine Harris calls
in. I know.
In.
That's where I got it from, is when I listen when Catherine Harris calls in to the show, to the program.
I had a sense because she opens up in a different way on the show. So you're
she usually says,
it.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my God. It's
like that. Oh, I've been listening to it so much. And then she's like, okay, bye. Like, okay. Hello.
Wow.
Like when she's going to, remember that time she got so drunk she started speaking Russian?
Yes, I do remember that.
That
was very strange. We should pull that out. We should pull out maybe for the vacation week. We should pull out like the best of Catherine Harris's.
Yeah.
Or you should just show The King and I.
Oh,
or
we
Westworld.
Oh, just this is a
Moshe
reminder.
Moshe Dayan.
What is she always confused?
We are doing
Moshe Dayan, Yul Brynner.
We're not doing a show tomorrow. On Friday, we're running a repeat of Jeremy Scahill's interview on Dirty Wars as to celebrate the release, the recent release of the movie on Netflix. Also, for members, you will get a phone call from David Waterman, or ostensibly a one of the famous David Waterman calls. And what was the second interview we did?
I thought it was Reverend.
Oh, yes. And we did Reverend Billy in studio with the not the Stop Shopping choir, because Reverend Billy is facing a year in jail. And so people can go to RevBilly.com to sign a petition.
Why is he facing a year in jail?
Because he did a 15-minute song and dance, literally, in a Chase
But
bank.
He's been doing that for years. Well, he's been doing that kind of thing for years.
Indeed, indeed.
And so, why now? Is it
Chase? You don't mess with Chase.
Wow. That's I'm very sorry to hear that. Where can people go to sign a petition?
RevBilly.com. RevBilly.com.
Oh, while we're on that, there's also a place, I'm sorry, that I wanted talk about with the prison, the private prison for profit. If you are upset about the SAFE Act and stuff, you can go to thenation.com/blogs/take-action to tell John Bonaire not to bring the SAFE Act to the floor, which would criminalize undocumented workers, put them in these private prisons for profit.
Yeah, that is that's
like
the game
the GEO
plan
group
for that.
And Wackenhut.
All right, let's go back to the emails. Wendy, my relatives think I'm a conservative just like them. What should I say when they tell me that all liberals should be rounded up and sent to California?
I'm very, very sorry that you guys are intellectually deficient. I'm very, very sorry that you are unkind, and I'm really sorry that you are given to sweeping generalizations and grand narratives that are always flawed. You could say that and just say, I am ashamed. I am ashamed you say things like that because it's unkind.
Or you could say,
that's what I say to my.
You could say, well, you know, if all liberals were rounded up and sent to California, then just imagine all the great health care they'd have, because in California, the Obamacare is working great.
And you can thank California, with the fifth, one of the largest economies in the country, that their money.
I mean, not the nation, the world.
I thought it was in just.
The GDP of California
is. It's within the top eight.
I thought it was like 8 or 10 in the world, but fifth in the nation, something like that. I could be wrong about that.
I think it's actually fifth in the world.
But the money generated out of that helps the whole rest of the country.
Oh, indeed. Yes. Yeah. And at that point, you should say, and would tax revenues not, you wouldn't want those to go back to.
Anyone who uses phrases like rounded up is coming from a place that you don't.
So basically, you're saying she should not make a smooth transition to telling her relatives that she's not conservative.
Well, I don't know how they're mistaking her for what. Is it because she has remained silent?
It sounds like she's remained totally silent.
Let's go to some of the IMs.
Guns blazing.
Remember, you can call if you want. 718-509-9310 is the number special for today. Used to be the fifth largest economy in the world. Fell to seventh during the nation, says Nathan Flowers. I'm happy now. Okay. Janine, your take on the pathology of the right is so right. As an addictions therapist, I see this very clearly. I wish you would join Sam in this very capacity more often. Amazing chemistry the two of you have.
Thank you. It's like Sam and Diane. Cheers? Or am I thinking of Moonlighting?
Both.
Oh, yeah. Frankly, Sam and Diane's Cheers. And then Moonlighting is Maddie and whatever Bruce Willis's character
That's right.
was.
That's
that
right.
spark. It's that spark.
Spark. We've got that spark.
Right. We've got whatever it is. You can't, you know.
Surprise.
You can't, yeah, and then you put a Gomer Pyle in there. Let me do some.
I don't have the full compliment. I had
Can
to sell
play
my
the
machine.
Bill O'Reilly one? Do you have the Bill O'Reilly one?
Do you have any, For Those Who Trespass?
Yes,
book
that's
on
what
tape?
I'm thinking of.
Can we hear some, please?
Say, baby. Can you play
Put
that
down
one?
That pipe and get my pipe.
I don't know if I have that.
You do have it.
It's on the other.
It might be on the second soundboard.
It's on the second soundboard. I've actually figured out a way to play it once when we were hosting.
You know, I don't know if I actually have it on here because I may have taken it off for that.
Why would you do that? Why would you take it off?
I don't see it.
That is my favorite sound in the world. Your best impression of him saying that, Sam or Janine?
I'll check.
Of O'Reilly.
Say, baby,
put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
There you go.
Thank you. If anybody, if you want to enjoy.
Oh, here it is.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
Your listeners should know if they don't. If they can access the book on tape, For Those Who Trespass, written and spoken by Bill O'Reilly, they will have the best holiday ever. Just to listen to that book. Remember how hard people used to laugh?
Yes.
When we played excerpts from For Those Who Trespass? I think that was the title.
What about this one, Janine?
Mom! Mom! Oh, Mom! Why did you do that to me?
Yeah, that was a...
gay
that guy was
therapist.
a gay
reparative therapist.
Gay hating gay man.
We used that recently when California, when Jerry Brown signed the bill banning that type of therapy. I think we played that pretty recently.
Yes.
Hey, what happened?
Jeremo, Janine, forgot to thank you for your insight and right on prediction about the Iraq war. We'll always admire you.
Thank you.
Mikey, I am from the app. Hi, Sam. On the April 5th interview with Marc Maron, he mentioned he would include you on season 2 of his show, Maron. Now that he's in the process of writing the new season, has he approached you for a cameo appearance? That would be really cool. You know, I've been asking that same question.
And Rob Cohen's directing this season.
Yeah, he's not answering my IMs.
Unbelievable.
Lawyer Matthew. Happy Thanksgiving. Are you on Hayes tonight? Safe trip to Worcester. I am on Hayes tonight for the hour.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you would be traveling.
We're going to travel afterwards. We're going to Worcester tonight. Because you know what? We would have been stuck in traffic anyway.
No, I know. So why don't you then just leave early tomorrow?
Because then you'll be stuck in traffic. But if we leave tonight,
oh,
we
I thought you'd be
traffic.
Less likely to hit traffic tomorrow.
Than no. Tomorrow. No. Yeah. Really bad. Massive email from Indie Mike. I will play this clip for him tomorrow. Jesus was a lefty. Sorry for so many questions, but I live with my conservative family in California district that brought us Kevin McCarthy. My parents make comment like Sam's aunt. When I try and push them, they say everyone has their own opinions and beliefs. Is there a way to convince them that their opinions don't equal fact?
When did
Never mind, you answered the question. Okay.
I'm sorry. When did the conservatives get like... it's like a weird, it's not like a weird, like a real postmodern thing, but when they're the ones who are always going on about like, there's a right way, there's a wrong way. Gay people can't be married because blah, blah, blah. There can't be abortion because blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, everything is relative,
you
man.
You want to accuse them of factual relativity. That is the problem.
What the f-
They have, like I said, whatever is useful to them, but for the most part, and I hear echoes of a dark past. I'm glad you brought this up. The Tea Party and the Republican Party, their dark roots can be traced back to other Southern-dominated, not all, because there's plenty of Northern races. It's a state of mind, really. Reactionary factions that have taken Congress hostage. 1856 pro-slavery congressman Preston Brooks of South Carolina beat and nearly murdered Massachusetts abolitionist Senator Charles Sumner. That's what it is, and it's ever the same. You know what I mean? It's your worst impulses as a human. So there's a person who almost beat to death another person for the right to sell people to people and own them. The other gentleman who was almost killed was talking about social justice and human rights and was the one almost beaten to death. And, you know, back in the old days, too, lots of people know this, but... when there was lynchings and stuff, people would come from miles around to look at it, to watch it. So you are not entitled to everybody has opinions and beliefs. There is a big difference between an opinion of, I think the blue wallpaper is good. Well, I like the green. That's okay. That's fine. It isn't fine to say, well, my opinion is it's fine to lynch this child.
Well, that's exactly right. What I'm trying to say is that these are the people who always in other realms are, and in fact, realms where they're wrong about.
Right.
Say,
cultural relativism. That used to be the
watchword. Cultural relativism is when you bring America down and all of a sudden, oh, well, I don't know if you're right about WMDs in Iraq. That's just your opinion. Right.
Well, don't forget that it's very elastic.
Okay, well, it's a religion.
The word.
It's a pathology,
right.
It's like a religion, but it's very
an elastic,
elastic.
Pathological religion.
And well, it's actually a personal failing to be that way. And it's not because they don't see a better way. You can't. There is an awareness of justice. That you have to be aware of it to be so unjust, right? They do see that there is another way. They resist it. You know what I mean? They just resist it. But you have to see it to resist it, right?
Well, it's because it's complicated. I mean, it's too hard to care.
It's too hard to be involved.
It's complicated. I mean, it's also why we see this rise of libertarian philosophy, because it is like any other orthodoxy. You get up in the morning, and if you want to be a fundamentalist Christian or a fundamentalist Jew or a fundamentalist Muslim, 90% of the questions that your day would normally bring you are basically put aside. Mm-hmm. The same thing with like a libertarian philosophy. I don't have to question the outcome of people not getting insurance because I have this one doctrine that I apply to it. Results don't matter. I don't have to split the baby or actually think about the implications of certain things, because I have one doctrine that I apply to everything. Just don't tell me what the results are, because I can't defend them.
So it's a great way to evade complexity.
Well, it's a great way live life without having to do the work, without having to care about others, without having to take action. You know, I mean, progressives and liberals and people on the right side of history who care, it takes a commitment, right? You have to do things that show that you're a global citizen, or that you have a commitment to doing what you believe, right?
That you act from empathy.
And you act out of empathy. You have empathy. If you are not, if you are regressive, if you are right winger, if you are a Republican, and that includes all the libertarians, independents, undecideds, and Tea Partiers, it's so easy not to care. But they do spend an awful lot of time being angry and frustrated.
It seems like they do.
And they
care.
Also always assume they're getting the short end of the stick.
All right, Bush and Chains on the IM. Hey, Janine, you look great as always.
Oh, thank you. Oh, this whole thing? Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Look at him being a charmer all of a sudden.
Yeah, Bush and Chains, the most curmudgeonly. Love to hear the pure, unadulterated truth when you're on. I am on here daily, preaching the truth to Sam et al. When you're away, but because my hand has not been stamped, I get labeled an anti-Semite. Ooh, just got my new iPhone killer Nexus 5. Love it. Stephen Harper, he's a GWB wannabe. Don't worry. Ed Snowden and Glenn Greenwald are about to info dump and expose those nice right-wing cockroaches. Pakistan political party accuses CIA Chief John Brennan of murder over drone strike. Binder Dad, happy Thanksgiving to MR crew and Janine. Sam, you made some factual errors on Thanksgiving bit yesterday. FDR didn't cave in. An act of Congress in November 41 decreed Thanksgiving will be observed the fourth Thursday of November, beginning in 42.
Also, you said Thanksgiving. Sam said Thanksgiving.
Yes, well, that was Franklin.
I thought you were. I honestly just
in your face.
I was wrong. I was wrong. I was totally wrong. I thought that he had leapt ahead when he was reading.
Also, you thought there were 50 states then. It was only 48. Alaska became a state in 59. Hawaii, 60. I'll have to bitch slap Matt in place of you when I see him later.
Ooh, violence.
By the way, great show as always. Carl Sagan.
Your dad beats you?
All the time.
Oh, wow.
Here in Michigan, the right wing got enough signatures to force legislation that would require a rape rider for women to pay for as an add-on to their health insurance if they plan on terminating any unforeseen pregnancies. I think your comments about the right being racist are apt, but I think the term racist has become too easily dismissed by those who are accused of it of being able to deny it. I think they actually believe they are not being racist. For example, Dinesh D'Souza's recent racist tweet, I don't think people know how to define racism because it's become subconscious. And the right still defines it as only an overt act.
Oh, I'll tell you what, man. Dinesh D'Souza's racist.
Dinesh D'Souza he's one of the pull the ladder. He is one of those guys that you're like, you? Et tu, Brute? Which, by the way, Caesar didn't really say. I read a book.
He's also
a
You saw the tweet the I Am
Her talking
about,
he's an amazing
right?
troll.
Yeah,
that's
he wrote,
really what he
we've got a grown-up mm-hmm. Trayvon in the White House or something.
Yeah, he said, thank God this country's strong enough to survive. But he's a troll fundamentally, and that's another part about this whole
Dinesh.
Industry. Yeah.
Dinesh, he's got a lot of problems, and he's working them out through alleged political avenues. He is a very misanthropic.
Dr. Radman Thies, I say don't worry about Friday. Do small business Saturday. I'm going to sample raw milk Gouda with truffles at our local cheese shop.
Mm.
Julie, I'm your best critic and fan. You should appreciate my feedback. Your tone was very dad.
Truly, it is Julie, Sam's sister again.
Wise and Linepert. Geez, Hannity, Obama can't be both Hitler and Chamberlain.
And you know what? Hannity has such a loose idea of Neville Chamberlain. I'm sure he just has heard this. There's no way Hannity knows his history.
I would just
there's no way Hannity was like, you know what this Obama speech reminds me of?
pull up that speech from Chamberlain.
That's an obscure Neville Chamberlain reference, guys.
Well,
I need that.
I can guarantee you, he's heard it. But you know, other right wingers, appeaser, Neville Chamberlain, the shame, blah, blah, blah. He, there's no way Hannity is a student of his.
Heritage Faction sent it to him. Action sent it to him.
Is it time to, for Obama to explain how he is like Chamberlain and
yes,
Hitler?
Yes,
Scott,
yes.
Scott. Wait, hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Look.
Folks.
There's an overlap between Neville Chamberlain and Adolf Hitler in the sense that they both were evolving towards deferring to Iran. And that's the point. That's what I've been working towards as well, and that's why I got the Osama bin Laden operation. I'm actually, that woman was correct about that, Janine.
That was excellent, but you didn't say folks enough. When he wants to,
you know, folks are frustrated that we haven't implemented Sharia yet.
That's on me.
And that's on me.
Well done. Scott, first
Key
off.
Key and Peele better watch out. This guy's doing a good Barack Obama.
First off, you need to shut up and let Janine talk. That's why we all tuned in today.
Oh,
Janine,
my God.
If you find yourself deserving the company of a liberal mid-40s, call me.
That's very nice of you, but I'm too old for you.
Call me Canuck.
I am older than mid-40s.
Stephen Harper is the worst, and he's in power only because of vote splitting on the left. He's the best example of why the U.S. should stick with two-party system, but organize to push the Dems further left. But kudos for Janine for knowing his name. Nuclear Seasons, I'm Sylvie. My dad votes for the Liberal Party, our relatively centrist party, and thinks Harper is awful. His view on the U.S. tax issue is so mystifying for me. Thanks for answering my question. Left Coast Marcus, Harper was vice president of the National Citizens Coalition, which is basically the Heritage Foundation North. Also started his political career with the Reform Party, which was basically the Tea Party North. Susan, Janine looks terrific. Just FYI. A great holiday season, Susan.
Thank you.
Luke's grandma. Hope
That's because fell. We put Vaseline and pantyhose over the lens.
Yes, we fogged
to
up.
Mute it.
Sun TV News says Hopefeld is their version of Fox News Channel. It was Sun
the
TV
Sun,
that Rob
Murdoch,
Ford
right?
got his TV gig. Yep. Lying is still illegal in Canada's news as of 2011. I think that may have changed.
And did that person go to Ford Fest every year? Rob Ford has Ford Fest at his mother's house.
Does he? What?
Yeah, it was happening when I was up there doing stand-up. Rob Ford was celebrating Ford Fest, and at that point, the whole allegations were still just allegations that there was. This has been going on a very long time, and he also there was a scandal because he used the mayor's letterhead to as for fundraising for a team he was supporting, something like that. But he was throwing Ford Fest, and there was advertisements for it, and so every year people come and celebrate him at his mom's place. There's beer and bands.
I bet.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on in the bathroom, too. John Kirk, can you guys, as the Israelis deviated septum choir from yesterday, serenade Janine with some pop country music like Proud to Be an American, where at least I know I'm free? I don't even know how to deal with that.
And I'm proud to be an American. Is that Lee Greenwood or... Or Toby Keith or...
Ilmec.
Janine, you do not understand.
Is that Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yeah, we're doing... you don't...
Gold in my ear. Do gold in my ear. Do gold in my ear. Do Dershowitz. Do Dershowitz.
yay, Janine. Says Ilmec. I know you guys saw Paul Wolfowitz on All In last night. How creepy was that?
Oh, Paul Wolfowitz. Chris Hayes.
That was,
you know,
brutal. I thought he was having a stroke.
Well, first of all, Paul Wolfowitz deserves never to be on these shows. But also, like, and Chris Hayes tries really hard. But it's one of the don't thank him for coming on. Don't thank him. And then also, like, when Rachel does it too, with all due respect, sir, none do. Unless you're going to say, with no due respect, Mr. Wolfowitz, let me say what I'm going to say.
With all due respect, by which I mean really no respect do.
And then also, Paul Wolfowitz kept saying, if you're going to continue to mock, how many times does Chris Hayes have to say it? Now, that's just another tactic of right-wingers like that.
If you're going to mock people, well, that's going to lead to Hitler.
The condescension, Wolfowitz.
Hitler said
he treated
that, that Hayes was inappropriately mocking those people who took the threats of Saddam
Hussein and the Iranians.
Stuff like that too seriously. The hawks, where they take, it's a very alarmist that the
dude
rhetoric.
Can't even keep his job as president of the World Bank because of like some minor corruption scandal.
Well, first of all, Paul Wolfowitz is a liar and a war criminal and a hack. That's just, let's just move on from there. But the thing is he knows he's lying. You know, he knows he's lying. But Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow, it pains me to see them as,
that's
same
the
with Colbert and
on.
John Stewart and Bill Maher. Don't have them on. Don't have them. Why do I need to see or hear?
Bill
Maher's
probably
these
the most actively disrespectful when he has.
Now, sometimes he lets stuff slide that makes me want to throw my flat screen. Luckily, it's very.
He's
small.
Not always on point though.
Well, there's very a lot of times where Bill Maher isn't up on. He just seemingly is not that interested in certain things, and he lets stuff slide that drives me insane. And he will perpetuate false narratives just very lazily. As much as I like that show. It's painful when people skate and when John Stewart is being polite to a war criminal or when Rachel Maddow is thanking, because we don't want to be rude because then we won't have them on the show. Who cares? Who cares if you don't have Cheney on the show? Who cares about that? They don't deserve to speak. They're going to lie. They never have said they're sorry. They should be in prison as accessories
been,
to murder.
You know, I think like, you know, mocking people who took those warnings seriously is one thing. Taking them too seriously and leading to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people is another. That would have been a good way to probably.
Well, he wouldn't let Chris Hayes even speak, right. And there was no way he was going to actually listen. I don't even know why he was on.
A Square, jumping in now. Great to hear Janine. My relatives can't out-talk me. I've worked hard on converting them. Thanks, Janine, for your voice and courage all these years. Echo the thanks of that listener.
Thank you.
No. Nathan Thank Flowers, used to be the fifth. Okay. TDX Fool. Hi, Sam and Janine.
Hi.
This is the War on Easter girl. Happy War on Thanksgiving. Any plans to mark the 10th anniversary of Air America? Maybe a progressive cruise with David Bender? Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. We're going to actually have lots of commercials and squander money.
Maybe you guys could go like Egg Mark Green's townhouse or something.
Ooh, look at this. Kevin 11721. Peaches.
Peaches? Oh, my God. I forgot.
Marin should write a flashback dream sequence scene with his show where he's at Air America with Sam and Janine.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. He should do something about Air America, but the show starts after he's done with that
Kyle
part
says,
of his life. So it has to be a flashback, right?
Yeah. Kyle says, wait, did you even celebrate the show's third anniversary? We forgot. We forgot the third anniversary of this podcast.
Should we celebrate it now?
We'll do it.
We sort of are celebrating it now.
We'll do it in
this
a year.
Is a great celebration.
Jack,
play the Bill O'Reilly clip.
Jack Ruby Tuesday.
That's a celebration of the third anniversary. Thanking Herbert Hoover.
Jack
Did
the
you
Ruby.
Press that?
Oh. No, it just started.
There we go.
Stop.
See that? It only took 98 minutes until she started to rip into me. I'm joking. Eric, I have a father who is from Sweden, of all places, and loves science, but constantly denies global warming. I can usually talk to him about social issues, but he won't budge on climate change or anything to do with criticizing Israel. By the way, I'm a member. Sound the horn. You got it. I tried to buy my right-wing mother-in-law the Bill O'Reilly book on tape a few years ago, but it was over $100. Guess it's a collector's item. I have a feeling you can't.
Well, if
that.
It's that book on tape of For Those Who Trespass, it's worth $100. It is well worth it for the amount of joy you will receive.
Cheney and Bushes. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. What's the new number again? We're going to run out of time, so I'm sorry, Cheney. But Janine should call in more. She should. She's always off doing her fancy TV show.
All the time. I barely ever.
Oh, my God.
Like that. And I don't call in. Others do. You never have me call in.
Janine never calls
in. I've only called in a couple times.
I have no idea. Victor Rocco. Wow. Sam and her sounded just like Bill O'Reilly. Laugh out loud. A beaten. Hey, Sam, great show today. Do you think the Vermont will be the single payer initiative will be modeled in other states? Sure, there's not a lot of data on the efficacy so far, but are you hopeful? Well, we're not at single payer yet in Vermont. But
they haven't implemented it yet. They're moving towards
that. They're moving towards it. It's going to be another year or two. But, you know, Don Berwick, who I think is running for governor of Massachusetts, also started to talk about single payer. And he is that guy who was head of a Medicare advisory board, one of the smartest sort of like wonkish guys in healthcare in the country, and was basically denied a nomination for a non-acting position by the Republicans. Don 88. Oh my God! Thank you for finally addressing the issue. When Republicans are cornered, they want to talk about everyone's has opinions.
Thank you very much. I love Janine Garofalo. She's brilliant. She's my brilliant girlfriend in my mind. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Tom Frackman. Now that Alec has left the building, I think it's time for Sam to get his own weekly show, or MSNBC is truly keeping the majority movement from expanding. Sound bites of Sam's children during the program will spike as the ratings higher than MSNBC has ever had.
I agree. You should be on MSNBC.
I think that you should be head of MSNBC.
I think that you should have a show on MSNBC. I have long fought it, and I think you're great when you are on those shows. You wear a smart suit.
At the very least, they have an opening every Friday night now.
That's right. What this person's saying.
Yeah. That's what I'm
actually, also, I'm sorry Sam about that, Alec Baldwin. I like Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, MSNBC has shown themselves to be real cowards again. What in the world does that have to do with anything? And if anybody was harassed the way he is, with people in their face pushing them to try and get a reaction out of it, and I suspect Fox News behind a lot of it too. Just send some, you know, they love to watch.
Well, it's the Post.
The New York Post.
The
horrifying New York Post. They do it on purpose. Yeah. And yet these people have more rights than he does.
MSNBC
throws them under the bus.
I will say this, that my belief is that when someone is fired from a TV show, it is for one of two reasons. One, they have a personal issue with the leadership of the network. Or two, their ratings aren't good. And
well, how would we know? He was on twice?
He was on for 3 months.
No. That's not.
I'll find out.
But also, what are they going to put more lockup raw? Lockup sandwich?
Well, ratings really, really.
Well, also, isn't it difficult on a Friday night?
Really bizarre irony of MSNBC? That's like the progressive cable network has this block of program, which I think is some of their best ratings, is just like prison voyeurism.
Yeah, but they can't.
That's a funny
irony. They can't monetize that.
I'm saying it's just a funny irony of their programming. I'm not talking about
it. It was on for five episodes worth.
Five episodes. So how would we know? So, and also, relatively speaking, what are ratings on that at that time on these cable networks? They're probably
this is my estimation. The writing was on the wall. The show wasn't coming together well. The ratings dropped precipitously after the first week, and we're just trending in the wrong direction. And I think the issue was like, how do we disengage from this situation?
Well, they did it the most cowardly way possible. Let's take a person that we claimed we believed in and throw them away.
Yeah.
Let's act like we are upset because this person said something while being harassed by paparazzi yet again. Any person who is pushed to a certain point with things like that in their face, and knowing, I'm sure he knows full well the New York Post has a lot to do with it and stuff like that. You say things, they come out of your mouth. Right. And it shouldn't be the network that, like I said, allegedly believes in you that is the first to abandon you.
Yeah, but you know TV.
I know that, but what I'm saying is they want to disengage. You may be quite right. There's other ways to do that.
I think that's probably true, too.
What is it? What is it, young man?
Sam will find it funny to read out.
What? Conservative Twitter on today's show. Conservative writes, get a racist to tell people how to talk to family. No wonder you're losing. Get a racist?
He spelled it wrong.
No, I think he means racist, like sexy. So he just paid you a compliment.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Okay.
Sexy, racy.
Bingo Mosquito, arguing with the constitutional strict constructionist, I said his argument that people need to earn the right to vote by getting an ID is comparable to earning the vote via the literacy test. He literally said, that was then, this is now. Boom, got him.
That was a good idea, too.
Chriso,
and a great
how do you guys
S.
approach
Hinton.
The perceived liberal relatives who think Larry Summers would have made a fine Fed chief? The Washington Post editorial page and David Brooks offer reasonable opinions, and Obamacare equals a finished market-friendly care. Oh, I see. How do you deal with liberals who think that the WAPO editorial page and David Brooks are reasonable and that Obamacare equals a finished market-friendly healthcare solution?
Well, that's not a liberal. That's a moderate. A David Brooks
right.
person is like a who's the guy we can't stand?
Friedman!
Thomas Friedman. But he's reasonable. He seems like he's making sense on Iraq, Thomas.
That's
Friedman.
A long-term project with that. But I would start by saying, in terms of Larry Summers, you know, the bottom line is that the financial crisis came as a function of deregulation, and he is very weak when it comes to regulation. I would just say, you know, here's the thing about converting anybody in this way. Don't take too big of a bite. This is a nibble. You nibble and nibble and nibble, and that's it, right?
Mostly people are kind of unconvertible unless they are impacted personally by an event that they themselves experience. Words tend to have no effect in the conversion. It would be the same as if a right-winger tried to convert you. It would have no effect upon you.
Well, no, I it certainly would have an effect on me, but I would engage fully.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is people don't tend to make changes unless they are personally impacted.
Yes.
Like, say, a person who's pro-gun. If something were to happen to
say
their family,
a senator whose son turns out to be gay, and he's
exactly
all of a sudden for,
exactly, or yes. or a senator just whose need, daughter needs reproductive justice, or you know any of these things, then all of a sudden they quote unquote get religion. Right. You know what I mean? They become converted. Ed Schultz, to his credit, admits freely it was his wife, that when they were dating, who showed him the error of his ways by taking him to a homeless shelter that she volunteered at and things like that. He's had his eyes opened and he has, it changed him, but it wouldn't have worked with just somebody saying
right.
something.
Right. You're not going to, it's going to be a long term. All right. Hi, Janine from Jimmy Reefer Cake.
Hello.
Hi, Janine and Sam. I sent a song yesterday. It was low quality, but might be funny. I'm setting the bar low on purpose. Janine is my favorite guest ever. Let's play.
Thank you.
That Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
It's so quiet, it's so minimal.
These tasty cakes are not made for kids. If they eat these cakes, they might flip their lids. Reefer cakes are not made for kids. So if you're making reefer cakes, make your labels bright. Always keep your reefer cakes high and out of sight. There is no doubt the haters will lie, but reefer has never made anyone die. But reefer cakes are not made for. Reefer cakes are not made for. Reefer cakes are not made for kids.
Well done.
That is my favorite one of all his songs. I feel like that intimacy, like the minimalist.
Lo-fi.
The lo-fi was very, very good. It suits him.
We got to do that. We got to save that one for.
That was very
Christmas.
Good.
That's my favorite.
I think
favorite
he should.
Jimmy
he
Reefer
should stick with
continue
that.
Continue with the.
Continue
yeah.
with that. That more intimate lo-fi style. I thought was very good.
Blimey, Janine is looking hot. Whoa.
This is. Apparently, they never see people because I any of these compliments there. I can't believe it. Or there is
what
a diffuser
are you
on the.
Talking about,
Myla, because it's very strange.
Oh come on!
Unless people
Janine.
Are being sarcastic.
No, no. Just take a.
It's very nice. I'm so thankful they say it, but I feel like something's.
Somebody B
odd.
From the IM mid-30s checking in, also available to hang out with Janine.
I'm too old for you.
Pterodactyl, the only reason ever to debate a conservative is for the benefit of other people, normal people, who just aren't politically informed and maybe listening. Cons really are a lost cause, and they all suffer from a plethora of moral and spiritual failings that make them easily manipulated and eagerly complicit in their own demise.
Nice. That was well put.
Yes. Buggy on the IM. Thank you, Janine. I have the same gripe with Mara. Stewart et al. Treating cons with overdue deference. It's basically access journalism, but without the scoops. Long Doggy, great show. I'm a huge fan, Janine. You should come on more often. Maybe you could give the guys comedy lessons.
Oh, son up!
What would you say
you just
now
got
that
served,
Fox
all of you just
has
got
uncovered
served.
The scandal of Obamacare and rolling my friend's dog? I actually know this guy. He's pretty funny. I have no doubt this will be a talking point tomorrow. Yeah, this is already out there. The dog guy.
And let's please keep jumping on this effort to give health care. And let's celebrate it, like giving the dog health care or whatever. So somebody played a trick, right? And so it's like a sting.
But I mean that same trick could have been played with a health insurance company, period.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like it's something unique to Obamacare.
And there's been people who are getting checks from the government that don't exist.
But not even government.
It is the insurance company. It's a private insurance company.
But I thought he went to the website and...
I think Fox is going to mock the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're going to... And they'll never contextualize it.
Well,
why am I even saying that? As if they usually do. They're usually so good with perspective, contextualization, and historical fact.
Yes.
It will be odd that they won't be that way tomorrow.
The conversation that should be had about this is that the government really should get involved with health care for your pets, because have you seen how ridiculously overpriced and they hit you with every little thing?
Well, actually, you know, you're quite right. But I would say another thing, we need to respect animal rights more.
Yes.
The amount of animals in shelters, overcrowded, just like prison systems, treated horribly and just euthanized because there's no more space, even no-kill shelters. And the amount of abandoned dogs, mistreated, abused dogs, and there's no real enforcement of any of the laws to protect these animals. And it is indicative of where you're at as a society, of how much you care about the animals, the children, the elderly, the environment, all the things that need your help.
Oh, man.
The takers, exactly.
All the takers.
There was a big expose that went online last night from Hollywood Reporter. They've been looking at, what is the AH, American Humane Association?
Yeah, that thing at the end of
the thing at the end
Humane
of movies.
No,
where no animals were hurt in this. Turns out they've been lying for so many movies that have that, yeah.
Oh, I've actually witnessed, not animals being hurt, but being worked beyond in films and stuff. That's just a mandatory thing, like no animals were hurt. There's animals that die. That's why that luck got canceled, right?
We had a big...
three racehorses died. But there, routinely, I have witnessed over the years, on whether it be an episodic thing or a film thing, the way the animals are worked, and the trainers are as much responsible, because they're just making money. It's like putting your kid to work. And so they're forcing these animals again and again and again and again to do things that are not natural to them, out of fear of punishment. You can see the terror in the animals' eyes. And the directors rarely care. They just want to get the shot. The producers rarely care. Everybody keeps passing the buck of who should be an advocate for these animals, and it is rarely the handlers because it's their income.
I have to say that I did a show with a monkey once, and the monkey was well-treated.
I hope so.
G Beard says, happy native, he's from Great Britain. Happy native population genocide day. Sorry, I mean.
Are we handing out smallpox blankets again? Are we going to do that in celebration?
I mean, Thanksgiving. By the way, we always celebrate the occasion 3 months earlier to mark when the Mayflower left.
Right, it was a bit of a journey, eh?
Flavahan, Cedar for MSNBC. Let's hear a homo slur. great show. I miss Catherine Harris. Janine, you rock, says CyberStrike. Jay Tingle.
Is that Jimmy Tingle?
No.
Oh.
Hey, hello to Janine. You my secret girlfriend in my mind who humiliates me at dinner parties by making me try and pronounce names of Middle Eastern envoys and cities. Also,
why would I do that? Why would I do that to you? I wouldn't try and humiliate you, and I myself probably
Jay
can't
Tingle's
pronounce
a big,
things.
Big joker. Also, won't be seeing my conservative dad. I sued him. Lost. He lost, the welfare state prevails. Well, I sued him and he lost, so no more holidays with him.
Wow, that would put a real damper on.
Give Thanksgiving gift to NNAF, National Network of Abortion Funds. Janine, please stop talking about shelter problems. You're upsetting my dogs.
Sorry.
Fat Jay from the IM. Great show with Janine today. Love the idea of Sam getting MSNBC show, but only if Benjamin does the intro voiceover.
Agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, the final IM of the day, Kevin 11721, reconversions not just personally affected, emotionally affected. 58, I'm too old for Janine, and that's sadder. My new response to right-wingers, people with anger in their hearts can't feel any peace or joy. That's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Janine, it has been a pleasure. We've gone 25 minutes over. Folks, you have gotten such an extended, you're going to have, this is like gorging yourself on Thanksgiving.
Now you're all going to go to sleep.
Oh, that was the closet.
That was the closet.
Who mentioned Lindsey Graham?
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, no, Lindsey Graham is still in that closet. That, some things never change.
And so I want to remind you, if you're not a member, you've gotten this whole show for free. It's a huge benefit. Become a member today at majority.fm. Also, give us a review on iTunes. This is really important. It helps push us up in the rankings. You can go to majority.fm/review. You can support this show by buying your Amazon crap through Amazon. Apparently, Matt was telling us yesterday, but he got cut off from the show that there's they got like a
if you absolutely have to do this Black Friday shopping, Amazon does all these deals every hour, and I know a lot of people take part in that. So if you're gonna do that, do it through our link so we get some of that money.
Yeah, you can go to
Shop Small
Majority Shop Report Small. Kickback MajorityReportKickback.com. We'll take you right to our that link. You click it, you bookmark it, you buy all stuff there through there. We get a kickback. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Janine.
Samuel.
This has been wonderful.
It's been wonderful. And to be in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District.
Oh, I know.
At this time of year, I mean, it's so lovely out there. This street in particular, this section is so appealing and visually stunning.
Oh, yes.
That it's just a pleasure to get off the A train.
Streets are paved
with gold. Where the streets are paved with cigarette butts and the random not for retail shopping sign.
There's a lot of that around here. We don't. This show is only for not for retail.
Well, this show is a small batch artisanal farm to table locally sourced show. That's the thing about this show. This is fair trade, as you said.
This is an artisanal.
It is an artisanal. Exactly.
I love that. Actually.
This is a this is the cloth diaper of podcasts.
It's a trendsetter.
We are the cloth diaper of. Oh, here we go.
The cloth
art,
adult
art
diaper.
Noise.
Of
how can we stop? How can we stop the Keystone ad from running before each clip on the MSNBC website? I can't stand it. I never listen anymore. I cannot help you with that. I have no idea. Maybe get an ad blocker or something like that.
If you can't get a show, could you at least change the advertising revenue model?
At least, yeah.
For
Maybe
Christ's sake.
We could get the Canadians to help with that, too, for the pipeline.
Janine, what's next? Where will we see you next?
Oh, let's see. I'm just doing some stand-up stuff here, and then I go on the road in January and February with Greg Behrendt.
Hey, do you have like a website or anything?
I do not.
Get information?
No, I have no web presence.
So how is it that people are supposed to know about this?
They don't.
Newspapers
or
what is it?
No, I don't know that.
Flyers?
The places that you work have information. I don't know.
What places that you work have information?
Like say I'm at Eastville Comedy Club. It's always on the website who's there and when. Or the shows I'm doing with Greg Behrendt are promoted by said venue. And then a lot of the stuff I do here, as you know, it isn't like that. It's like Union Hall, Union Pool, all those like Tuesday night things. Like those aren't really.
Yeah, but that's good for people who go to those venues. What if you want your one stop shop for Janine Garofalo?
Well, there is a website that someone did that Cara, my manager, had somebody do years ago. It hasn't been updated in years. I don't use a computer. I know that sounds like a lie, but I don't. I have no web presence. Have I paid the price for that? Yes, I have. Are my agents and managers upset about that? Yes, they are.
I was going to say, I don't think that there is.
But there's a fake me tweeting and a fake Facebook me.
I don't
Why
think
don't you just go on Twitter at the very
I minute. Do not.
No.
No?
I'll tell you something. I do not think that there is another comedian in the country who is where you are professionally or, frankly, anywhere.
I'm not really anywhere professionally.
Well, but then there's even more. then that has less of an internet presence than you.
There might be. I don't know. I have.
Even Benjamin is on Twitter.
Right. I know. I'm not plugged in that way. I'm just not. Like I said, there's fake people, which is a drag pretending to be me. I don't know why you would think they would pick somebody with more that would get more followers. This is not the 90s, but. I just don't want to be plugged in that way. I don't want to. I know there's a lot of wonderful things about the medium, the great democratic medium. I definitely respect
I'm not chastising
the technology.
No,
I don't
I'm saying
want
from
to
a marketing
be plugged
standpoint,
in that way.
I'm not even talking about that.
Well,
I
sacrifice.
This is what comedians do now.
Sales.
It is completely.
I know.
This is. I think like comedians are probably the number one beneficiary of these. I would say comedians and maybe bands. But the difference is that bands have actually hurt in some ways. in some aspects of the music business. I think this has been a huge boon to the comedy business and to comedians more than any other.
Well, also independent filmmakers or people putting content. Anybody generating their own content.
I'm saying, there's been a lot of comedians who are being discovered and careers being made from this more so than any other.
I agree. The same with musicians,
and not even
too,
being
though.
Discovered. Not even discovered. I'm saying, like, you know, look.
They become huge.
Podcasts
famous.
Are a huge business now for comedians. It almost is the definition of podcasts on some level. Twitter has broken a lot of comedians in terms of gotten them big deals, but also made them a lot of money. It's the way that they manage their own tours now.
Oh, I understand it. I hear
I'm not
everything you're saying.
I'm
I know
just talking
you're not.
About the phenomena.
I know you're not. And it behooves, and I'm not defensive at all. It behooves anyone to utilize these things. It's just not authentic to
Janine
me. I just don't want to.
I think it's a mark of true if you're doing power in today's age to not be on social media.
Oh, no, it's not about power or anything. It's about social anxiety.
I'm just saying that's what I think. I'm not.
But also, I grew up mostly without this stuff. It's quite natural to me. Right. If I was younger, it would seem very unnatural to be offline. But, you know, all through high school, college, there was not computers yet still. Even I graduated college
in 86. Yes, I know. I was in the same way.
No, what I'm saying is so it's very normal to me not. You happen to be very excited by all that stuff.
You get excited
about it. It just never.
Well, it's a way for me to escape my family.
And so, yet film them, and yet constantly film them all the time.
Well, that's why I film them, and then I have full control over how much
he
I'm
likes
exposed
to only interact with his family through a screen.
That's right.
If so, I like, had children, I would be connected because I'd have to be. Honestly, I'd have a smartphone. I'd be on. If I had children, I would do that because it's necessary. I don't have children, so I am able to live this way. It has hurt my career. It has hurt my stand-up. It has in many ways. And then also socially, you'll never get invited to anything again. If your friends can't email you in a mass email, you'll never know again about a great party you missed.
Well,
but luckily,
to be fair,
I don't like doing things, so it's fine.
To be fair, I am very much connected through my phone, through my iPad, through my computer, and I never get invited anywhere.
I feel like that's not true.
It is true.
With Sam, the problem isn't reaching out to him. That's very easy.
No, I'm very available.
No, you're still connected
I actually get RSS feed notifications just when people are thinking about doing something that I could potentially be invited to, and I just wait and I just don't get the invitation.
I do is hear about stuff way after the fact.
Yeah.
There can be things like people are offended I haven't responded to a wedding thing. Now, for years these are people who know me well. I don't know how many times I have to say I don't use a computer. But because it's so unusual to some people, they don't ever remember you said that.
Well,
right?
I know
so they're
that.
Constantly offended that you don't respond. Or a lot of times people will say, I'd like to email you something. And I'll say, I don't use a computer. Their next question every time is, then how do you get your email? That's the next thing they say. And then I say, I don't. And then they say, how do you send email? And I say, I do not. And this is before smartphones, when the only way you could do it was online. And Dave Rath, very close friends of mine, for years now, I have to say on a regular basis, I don't use a computer, so I can't. That video you sent somewhere into the ether that you think, I don't know where you're sending these videos of your kids or whatever, but I continue not to get them because there's nowhere to send them. Now you can try sending
it
to my phone.
So what do you want people to do? Is it like send you a video on like a Betamax?
No, I don't. It's not like I'm. Please send me videos. I have a Samsung flip phone, and that's enough for me. I, you know what I mean. I can get photos from other people's phones. Sometimes they send me a photo, but for the most part, or if there's something really I need to know about, or that Pete has a computer, so or if Pete insists on showing me yet another video of a dog wearing crazy things on its head because he loves stuff like that. Like,
sometimes they can
look at this dog; it's got a thing of cheese on its head, or the owner put peanut butter in its mouth, so it sounds like it's talking. He will show me that video, come hell or high water, and it's usually if I'm reading. He seems to really need to show me. Look at this site; it's just pit bull puppies. It's just pit bull puppies on it going down some stairs. And I admit it, I love it. I'm a fan of the pit bull and a puppy in general and anything, but usually if as soon as I start reading, getting into a book, that's when he must show videos and or ask any question that needs to be asked, regardless. And then I'll go back to the book and then I'll say I'm reading, and he'll say I just one more thing. He'll always do that. And then if I'm not reading, he's silent. Silent, 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 just listening to his podcasts, reading his own stuff online. As soon as I get that book and sit in the smoking window, because we smoke out this one window, we sit, we both smoke, but there's a window in the kitchen where we sit on the sill and smoke out of it. As soon as I get the ashtray set up, the cigarettes, and the book, he's up off that couch in 2 seconds, wanders into the kitchen.
You've got him trained.
No, it's
like Pavlovian.
And I know he's listening to this because he listens to you every day.
Hi, Pete.
This is my way of saying, Pete, I'm reading. I'm reading.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will have a new podcast up for you, or at least I should say a repeat on Friday. Matt and Mike will be here on Monday, and then I will be back on Tuesday. Have a great Thanksgiving. Please drive safely if you're driving. Fly safely if you're flying.
Sail safely if you're sailing. Walk proudly if you're walking.
Exactly. Hold your head
segwaying.
High.
Hold your head high if you're segwaying.
If you're bicycling, please.
Then kudos to you.
Skateboard, scooter.
Yeah. We will
ATV.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Bye, peaches.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank
there you,
you
go.
Sam.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice was made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost the drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. And I'm scripted into you while I shifted in and out. Pilot light shining bright.